पते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिके कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामनि गौरात्वेषे नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा सी ऑल वेलकम एट श्री श्री राधा गोलोक आनंद टेम्पल Phoenix for morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto 40th chapter, and this chapter is entitled The Prayers of Akrura. The scene is it's almost over 11 years Krishna in Vrindavan, say Gokul, Vrindavan, Nandagaon. In these three places Krishna has his pastimes, and over 11 years have passed. And one fine morning Narad Devrishi appeared to the palace of Kansa and said, you were looking for the son of Vasudev, still you have not yet found. Do you know the two boys at Nanda Baba's house, Krishna and Balaram, and killed all your demons which you are sending one by one? They are Vasudev's son. So this was Narada. He has done his business. And then he went to Nandagram. And Krishna was grazing cows. And he told Krishna that without asking you, I have already told Kansa and now you should be prepared and ready to go to give darshan to your mother and father Devaki and Vasudev. They are waiting. They have not seen your childhood pastimes. And now it is the time for also give your blessing to the Mathura Vasis, and now time for the Kansa also to go from here. So he told to Krishna this thing, and Kansa now, next day morning, Kansa summoned Akrura. Akrura is Yaduvansi. Though most of the Yaduvansis, they left the Mathura and they fled to different other provinces, but some stayed there with the intention to have darshan of the Krishna, as it is foretold by the Akashvani. So Akrura is one of those who were staying there in the Mathura, and was apparently outwardly looking very faithful to Kansa. It is the Akura who actually took the Rohini when she was having a child in the womb from the Mathura to Gokul at Nanda Baba's house. So he was helping his own people, but he was working with Kansa. So Kansa summoned him and he says, Akura, you go to Nandagaon and bring the Krishna and Balaram. Invite them that we have a big festival here, Dhanusha Yagya, a sacrifice for the bow. And of course, we have a very nice new chariot built. This chariot you take to bring Krishna and Balaram. So now Akura, he got ready. It's a new chariot because somehow the Lord has to have a new chariot. So he started towards Vrindavan from Mathura. The one first chapter is Akrura's vision of how, on the way when he was seeing in the footprints of Krishna on the ground, he was getting down from the rath and he was rolling down and meditating on Krishna. When I go, Krishna will ask me, my uncle, he will hold from my hand. When I offer my prayers, Balaram will hold my food. So exactly he was doing, it's called Manorath. Manorath means he was meditating that how he will receive Krishna and Balaram, how fortunate he is to have a darshan of Krishna and Balaram. And he was going so slow. It's not much distance, but we are going very slow. So ultimately, by the evening, he arrived in Nandagram, and Krishna exactly reciprocated as he envisioned. And with the hand, which is marked with the Sudarshan Chakra, he hold Akrura, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, he hold Akrura with the hand marked with the mark of Sudarshan Chakra to give Akrura confidence that he will kill Kansa. Don't worry, you are very much fearful that how can you take us to the cruel butcher Kansa, so don't worry. And then Balaram just hold his folded hands and then embraced them, and it was he's received Nanda Baba, talked with him, and Nanda Baba, particularly Nanda Baba said, how can I ask you your well-being when you are living at the house of a cruel Kansa who has killed the son of his own daughter? So I know what will be your position there anyway. So he was received there, and next day he proposed that I have come to bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. So now after that, there's a lot of, you know, the gopis on the way, and this whole scene is a very special scene of leaving, Krishna leaving now Vrindavan for 100 years. Practically for 100 years, Krishna is now leaving Vrindavan. So it's very painful. And there is if sometime you go to Nandagaon, from Nandagaon there is a path that is called Akrur Gaman Path. the chariot of the Akrur went by that way, and there's a place where gopis were just lying themselves down in front of the chariot and having a dialogue with Krishna, and they call Akrur. Why they call you Akrur? You are the cruel person. Cruel means very cruel person. You are separating Krishna from us. How your name is Akrur? So that path is called Akrur Gaman Marg. Nanda Baba and other cowherd boys, they were going by a normal path from Mathura, from Nandagaon to Mathura. But Akrur were going by a special path called Akrur Gaman Path. So when they reached to the border of the Vrindavan, it is a boundary. On the other side is Mathura, and Vrindavan ends and Mathura starts. And at the bank of Yamuna, that place is called Akrur Ghat. Now it's called Akrur Ghat. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Vrindavan, because it was too many people making a lot of sort of disturbance, so he stayed all the time at Akrur Ghat, and he was visiting Vrindavan every day, but he made his residence at Akrur Ghat. So it's a very special place. So when he arrived there, Krishna Balaram, they got down, he took the Jamuna water, themselves did Achaman, and then Akrur wanted to take bath in Jamuna. And Krishna Balaram was sitting, as they were sitting on the chariot. When Akrur entered in the Jamuna, and he has some mantra which he was meditating regularly on the Supreme Lord. So when he was dipping inside, he saw inside Anantasesh, the Sesh with the many hoods and many Siddha Charan offering prayers to Anantasesh, and then he saw Lord Vishnu, Narayan, and then Vishwarupa of the Narayan, the universal form. And then he was said, what I'm saying, how is that? Krishna Balaram, first he saw Krishna Balaram. He said, Krishna Balaram, they were in the chariot, how they are in the water? He came out and he said, no, they are sitting on the chariot. So who is in the water? They looks like Krishna Balaram. Next time when they enter in the water, instead of Krishna Balaram, he saw Anantasesh, and then he saw Narayan. So then he started offering prayers to these two deities which he has seen within the water of the Yamuna, simultaneously when the Krishna and Balaram were sitting on the chariot. So that chapter is called Prayers by Akrura. In Navada Bhakti, nine process of devotional service, nine limbs of devotional service, Vandanam, Saravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnus, Samranam, Archanam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam. So Akrur is a Acharya, exemplary person for Vandana. So this is the Vandana of Akrur to the Narayan feature of Krishna, which he was meditating always when he was living in Mathura. Like we have this incident all the time, we see Yashoda and Nanda Baba at their home. They are worshiping Vishnu. They are praying to the Vishnu for the protection of Krishna. Even in Ramayana, Kaushalya Ma was worshiping Sri Ranganath, the deity of Mahavishnu. It was their presiding deity at home. It means Vishnu worship was already existing there. But Krishna, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes that when Akrur was in Nandagaon, in Vrindavan, and when he was seeing gopis praying to Krishna, he was astonished to see this wonderful form of Krishna. And it was in his mind. But when he entered into the water to do his daily puja rituals, at that time his mantras were for Vishnu, and then he saw the Narayan form, and then he offered two verses for Anantasesh and the rest 5-6 verses to worship Narayan. So we are reading one verse which is spoken by Akrur and is addressing to Narayan features, which appears as universal form also to him in the water. So this is the verse 15 of this chapter which we will read today.
Tvaya vyatmana purushe prakalpita. Lokansapal bahujiva sankulaha. Yatha jale sanjihate jalaukaso. Apya udhumam vareva maska mano mai. Tvai avyatmana purushya parkalpita. Lokah swapala bahujiva sankula. Yatha jale sanghihate jalaukaso. Apya udambareva maska mano mai. Tvai avyatman purushe prakalpita. Lokah sapala bahujiva sankulaha. Yatha jale sanghihate jalaukaso. Apya udhumbareva maska manohumai. Tvaya avyatman purushe prakalpita. Lokah bahupala jiva sankula. Yatha jale sanghihate jalaukaso. Apya udhumbareva maska mano mai. Tvaya avyatmana purushe prakalpita. Lokasapala bahujiva sankula. Yatha jale sanghite jalaukaso. Apyavanda mareva manaska mano mahe. Tvaya atmana posha palkita. Lokasapala bahujiva sankula. Yatha jale sanghite jalaukaso. Apya udambareva manasa mano maska. Mataji. Tvaya avyatmana purushe prakalpita. Lokasapala bahujiva sankula. Yatha jale sanghihate jalaukaso. Apya udhambareva masaka mano mai.
Tvai within you. Ave Atmana, the inexhaustible one. Purushe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prakalpitaha, created. Lokaha, the worlds. Sapalaha, together with their protecting demigods. Baho, with many. Jiva, living beings. Sankulaha, crowded. Yatha, just as. Jale, in water. Sanghite, move about. Jal okasaha, aquatic animals. Api, indeed. Udambare, in an udambara fruit, a kind of fig. Va, or mashkaha, small biting insects. Manaha, the mind and other senses. Mae, in you, who comprise. Translation by the disciples of His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. All the worlds with their presiding demigods and teeming populations originate in you, the inexhaustible Supreme Personality of Godhead. These worlds travel within you, the bases of the mind and senses, just as aquatic swim in the sea are a tiny insects burrow within an udambara fruit. There's no purport written here. Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad has written some comments on this verse. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, Krishna said, it means there's a, in previous verse there's a, some discussion. So we should hear the translation of the verse before. Fire is said to be your face, Akura is telling to the Vishwarup, which he is seeing in the water. Fire is said to be your face, earth your feet, the sun your eye, the sky your navel, the direction are your senses of hearing, the chief demigods your arms. So, in other words, in a universal form, whatever the demigods which we can imagine, they are all within the universal form. And then, the certain verses before this says, when we worship any demigods, ultimately worship goes to you. So this is what is prayed by Akrura. So Krishna is asking, but if this is true, then the worshipper of the demigods are also my worshippers, because all the demigods are in my body and they worship. Therefore, if this is true, then worshipper of the demigods are also my worshippers. It was seen from the previous verse that the worshippers of the demigods are also my worshippers. The scripture also says that those who worship me surely come to me. How do you say that demigod worshippers do not come to me? This is when Vishwanath Chakravarti is writing commentary, then he find out the word in the verse which is like a expression on the face of Krishna asking question. And the next word in the verse is the answer to that question. So he's saying, so all the demigod worship is also worship of the Supreme Lord. Very simple. There's one example given. All the rivers, they are originating from the mountain. All the river originate from mountain. That's right. Ganga is from Gangotri, Jamuna is from Jamunotri. So all the rivers are coming from mountain. And the rivers are made by rain from the clouds. But all the rivers, they are going and entering into the sea. So it means all the worship is ultimately reaching to the Supreme Lord. All the rivers are reaching to the sea. Now Vishwanath Chakravarti is giving answer. That is right. All the rivers are entering in the sea. That is correct. But from where the rivers are originating? Mountain. Mountains are not entering in the sea. Rivers are entering in the sea, not the mountains. So worshipper is not going to the God, but his worship is going to the God. Rivers are going to the sea, not the mountain, which is the origin of the river. So river is like a worshipper. The mountain is like a worshipper. River is like a worship. Worship is going to the sea, to the Supreme Lord. But worshipper, mountain, is not going to the sea. So this is his, one similar verse is in Bhagavad Gita. All those people who worship demigods, ultimately the worship comes to me. And I award the results. But they are not coming to me. So years back when I was speaking on this verse somewhere in the Middle East, it came to my mind as a realization like here also you can give the same example, but in India, in a railway station you go and purchase the ticket. I want to go to Mumbai, I want to go to Delhi, I want to go to the Kolkata. Okay? So all the money which you give to the person you are purchasing ticket, all the money goes to the government. The money goes to the government. But the person goes to the place where he wants to go. Person will not go to the government. Money will go to the government. Yeah, from here you purchase the ticket from here to Delhi, to Bombay. Money will go to the Air Mauritius government. But you will go to Delhi. You will not go to the government. Is it right? So similarly, the worship goes to the Supreme Lord, but the worshipper goes to where he wants, what he selected. This is so. Therefore, Krishna is asking this question. If you think that all the demigods are in the Supreme Lord, so worship of the demigod is also worship of the Supreme Lord. No, Akrura, in his prayer, is answering. The worlds with the demigods and countless living entities move about within your universal form, like small insect living in the udambara fruit or aquatic in the water. What is that form? They move within your form, composed of material element such as mind and earth. It means they are all moving, or whatever the demigod which we see, they are in your universal form. And this universal form, what is this universal form? They move within your form, composed of material elements such as mind and earth. Mind, ether, all these things. So this is what the word here is, manomay. Manomay. O Lord, whose body is indestructible, avyatma, the first word of this verse, avyatma. Your body is inexhaustible. Avya means, generally, in economics, vyaya is called expenditure. And avya is called saving, which is not exhausted. So avya means which never exhaust. So your body is avyatma, indestructible. By this, it is understood that those who worship your original forms, original form means Vishnu forms, which are eternal and full of knowledge and bliss, Satchit Anand, are your true worshippers. The universal form, Vairaj Roop, on the other hand, is your temporary, illusory form, not your original personal identity or swarup. Therefore, those who worship the demigod who are the limbs of that universal form, are not your worshippers. Thus, it is correct to say that those who worship the demigods go to the demigods, not to you. Such is implied by this verse. Is it clear? Universal form, as Srila Prabhupada described, is for the neophyte. It is for the neophyte. And Prabhupada used to give example, father in an army when fighting on the war front and the bombardment is going on all around, his son will not dare to go and embrace his father. And it is his somewhat duty which is performing there. It is not his swaroop, it is not his original nature which he is at home, but it is when he is at war. But same father, when comes to the home, the child embraces him and he sits on his lap. So the Vishwaroop is for the creation of this material world. Actually, this Mahavishnu, which is lying down with the all demigods, are in it. This is actually Purusha avatars. Purusha avatar, they are Vishwaroop. Everything is coming out of them. So Vishwaroop itself is a spiritual, because it's coming from the spiritual Lord in that sense. Nothing in this world is out of Supreme Lord. That is one first concept. But the Supreme Lord, his own, because next verse tomorrow will come, when you appear in this world as an incarnation, that is your true form. Because you are coming from Vishnu, Hirodakshai Vishnu. But your universal form is a material concept for the materialistic people, because they cannot understand you. Like what we see in universal form, we see all these planetary system, all these demigods, which are made up of our five elements. Everything which we see in this material world is nothing but the 24 elements of the material world. Nothing but earth, water, fire, air, whatever. Our Maharaj Rahugan, when he was instructed by Jad Bharat, he is saying, what is the difference in your body sitting in the palanquin on the four people's shoulder, and what is the difference in the body of these four people who are carrying you? They both are made of same thing. What is the difference between the two bodies? But you think I am king, and you think they are your servant, and you are not paying them, and you are getting them, you carry you around. This is, you are torturing them. So what is the difference between your body and this body? Nothing. But everything in this world is a combination of the matter and spirit. Matter and spirit. Whatever different combinations are, but it is all that. But it is coming from where? Coming from Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada writes, that is only the philosophy which can clarify this matter is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's simultaneously one and different. Achantya Bhed Abhed. So this Vishwaroop, according to this verse, and according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's Tika, is a material manifestation. And therefore the demigods are within the Vrat Roop of Supreme Lord, which is a material manifestation. Therefore, whatever we worship in this world to the demigods is a material worship. It is for material gain. It is material worship. They cannot go to the spiritual personality because they are worshipping material person with a material motive. So since there's no purpose, I think as per usually we go further. We go further, and there are many verses which have no purpose. Prabhu? Okay, so let me read what Purushottam said about this. This is a purport to the verse 10. Those who are the devotees of the other demigods and who worship them with faith actually worship only me. This is Krishna says. So Akrura is answering. This is from Bhagavad Gita. Ye api anya devata bhakta. So the Krishna's object. Krishna is objecting. But if they are worshipping me, then they should achieve me. Akrura, no. It is not like this. Worship goes to you. But those who worshippers do not attend you. Worship goes to you, but they don't attend you. Because you have already said in Bhagavad Gita. So he's quoting these verses from 9th chapter. And then Akrura says, I am also saying the same thing with an example. The example is given. The raging rivers, which are born from mountains, are formed from the water raining upon the mountain from the cloud. Parjanyena meghane, meghena. The rivers then flow down in all directions and ultimately enter the sea, just as the rivers flow into the ocean, but not the mountains, which generate the rivers. So the worship on the different paths goes to you, but not the worshippers. This means that because you are super soul within them and the shelter of the demigods, the worship of them goes to you because you are Paramatma in there. Worship of them is worship of you. Now, as the clouds come from ocean, so the Vedas come from you. The various type of worship coming from the Vedas are water, and the worshipper is the mountain. Just as many rivers flow from many places to enter the ocean, so the various type of worship of different worshippers flow from the demigods to Vishnu. So rivers are originating from mountain, means mountain is worshipping. And he's worshipping according to the Vedas, which is like the sea, which from where comes the cloud. So the simile which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is giving, rivers are going to the, this is another verse which commonly all the Karmakandis say, Akasham patantam toyam yatha gacchanti sagaram sarvadeva namaskaram keshvam pratigacchati. This is a common verse they always say. Akasham patatim toyam, whatever the water falling from the sky. Akasham patantam toyam yatha gacchanti sagaram, as it goes to the sea. Sarvadeva namaskar, whatever the demigod you worship, it goes to Keshavam, it goes to the Supreme Lord. That's what the worship is. So this is the answer to that. That worshippers, it's like rain is coming, rivers becoming river from the mountains. So actually originates river from the mountain. So mountain are sending the rivers to the sea. So rivers go to the sea, worship go to the sea, not the worshipper. So worshipper, if worship, it's like, this is what the Devani, Yanti Deva, Putra Yanti, Pitra Bhutani, Yanti Bhutani, Madhyajivam. Only my worship comes to me. The other worshippers worship come to me, but not they. So this is the concept which is in Akrura's prayers are like that. So next verse. Yani, Yani Hirupani. Kirdana artham vibrahashihi taira amrishtah sucholoka muda gayantite yashaha. To enjoy your pastime, you manifest yourself in various forms in this material world. And these incarnation cleans away all the unhappiness of those who joyfully chant your glories. So not the Virat Roop worshippers. But when you come as incarnation, that your form, those who worship that will come to you. So this verse, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, Krishna said, now in this verse Krishna is asking, but then, which are my original forms? So this Vishwarup you are saying is not my original form. You are saying it is Manomaya. So all the demigods in my Virat Roop, which is material. So which is my true form? So Krishna is asking this question. Therefore, Akrura is answering. For the sake of playing, Akrura is answering. For the sake of playing and to give mercy to the conditioned soul, you appear in this material world in various forms, such as Matsya, who crossed the ocean, or as Haigriva, who killed the demon Madhu and Kaitav. Thus people glorify these eternal form of yours and become free from ignorance, illusion and sadness. So different incarnation Yahweh. So which incarnation, if Krishna asks, then the two verses describe four incarnations. So he says, Namha karana matsyaya pralya abadhi charayate cha hayashrine namastubhyam madhu kaitava mrityave akuparaya brahate namo mandara dharine kshatya udhar viharaya namo shukar murtyaye. I offer my obeisance to you, cause of the creation, Lord Matsya, who swam about in the ocean of dissolution, to Lord Haigriva, the killer of Madhu and Kaitab, to the immense tortoise, Lord Kurma, who supported Mandrachal mountain, and to the boar incarnation, Lord Vara, who enjoyed lifting the earth. Vishwakosh dictionary state that the word Akuparaya indicate the king of tortoise. So this is the one line in the Prabhupada. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes on commentary on this. Anticipating, Krishna may ask, what are those forms? Akur described those forms in six verses. Akur prayed, I pay my respect to eternal form of Matsya, who swam about in the ocean of dissolution, enjoy his pastime. The word karana, which means those forms in the original cause of creation. Karana. Those form the original cause of creation implies the eternal nature of Krishna's form and should also apply to all the form mentioned in the following verses. After this, you took the form of Haigriva, Tugul the Madhu and Kaitab. I offer respect to the Lord in his form as a Kurma who held up the Mandra mountain. The Vishwakosh dictionary, same thing. Namaste Adbhuta Singhaya Sadhu Loka Bhavayapaha Vamanaya Namastubhyam Karantatre Bhuvanayacha. Obeisance to you, the amazing lion, Lord Narsingha, who remove your saintly devotee's fear, and to the draft Vaman who stepped over the three worlds. Namo Bhrugunam Patyae Dripta Kshatra Vana Achede Namaste Raghuvaraya Ravana Antakaraya. Obeisance to you, Lord of the Bhrugus, Parshuram, who cut down the forest of conceited royal order, and to the Lord Ram, the best of Raghu dynasty, who put an end to the demon Ravana. So he is now giving answer to the Krishna, which form you think are those, if they worship, they come to me. So he's giving the list of 10 avatars. Not only this, I know this is very interesting. Namaste Vasudevaya, Namasankrishnaya cha, Pardyumna Anuridhaya, Satvatam Patyaya Namaha. Obeisance to you, the Lord of the Satvatas. Satvata means devotees. And to your form as Vasudev, Sankrishna, Pardyumna and Anuridha. So now he is saying, Namo Buddhaya Shuddhaya Daitya Dhanava Mohine Malecha Para Prayaha Chhatra Hantare Namaste Kalakirupine. So now he is saying, obeisance to your form as the faultless Lord Buddha, who will bewilder the Daityas and Dhanavas, and to the Lord Kalki, the inhalator of the meat eaters posing as a king. There is no purport to all these verses. So here, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, Akrura glorifies the incarnation of Buddha as a Shuddhaya. even though he promoted the teaching which contradict Vedas. Bhagavan jivo loka ayam mohitastava mayaya aham mameti asad graho brahmyate karma vartamaso. O Supreme Lord, the living entities in this world are bewildered by your illusory energy. Becoming involved in the false concept of I and my, they are forced to wander along the path of fruitive works. After praising the Lord, Akura now reveals his delusion and the plight of those wandering along the path of fruitive workers. Aham cha atma agara dharathah swajanadisho brahmami swapana kalpeshu mudha satya dhiya vibho. I too am deluded in this way, O Almighty Lord, foolishly thinking my body, children, home, wife, money and followers to be real, though they are actually as unreal as dream. There's no purport to all these verses. Not at all. I think the chapter will end today. Yeah, chapter will end. So then Akrura is saying, Anitya natmana dukhesho vipriye matir hai aham dvandvaramastamo vishto na jane tvatmana priyam. Thus mistaking the temporary for the eternal, my body for myself, and sources of the misery for source of happiness, I have tried to take pleasure in material dualities. Covered in this way by ignorance, I could not recognize you as the real object of my love. Vishwanatha Chakri Thakur writes, Akrur elaborate on the foolishness in this verse. Those with the backward viprayaye mentality thinks the temporary fruits of actions are eternal. The body is the soul, and the miseries of house and home are bliss. Such fools continually suffer the dualities of the happiness distress in this world. Because I am covered by ignorance, I cannot realize that you are the dearmost beloved of my soul. Atmanah priyam yatha buddho jalam hitva pratichannam tada udbhavaihi abhavayeta mrga trishnam vai tatvat taham param mukha. Just as the fool overlooks a body of water covered by the vegetation growing in it and chases a mirage, so I have turned away from you. Now this is Akrura's mood, that I am living with Kansa. You are covered water. Sometimes water is covered by the grass, but people don't go to the water, that water, but they see the mirage as a water, but there is no water at all. Water maybe. So you are appears to be covered here, and I cannot recognize you here. But I have, instead of worshipping you, I have gone to the Kansa, which is like a desert where there's no mercy at all. So he is revealing his own mind, but he's generalizing the rule that in this world people are so mad, like a foolish, that they are attached to all the things which are temporary. All the things which are temporary. Just sometime I always give this example. People think that this home is mine, but the home never knows that who is the owner. If you sell the home, will the home cry? Huh? So home don't know you, but you are so attached to the home. This is my home. All the nice ornaments you wear, they say, oh, this is mine. But I just always give example. If you have a beautiful, your Mangal Sutra, and you have put somewhere, and if the rat comes and eat it, or a cat comes and take it, will the Mangal Sutra cry that I am giving as a gift to my dear husband while you are touching this? Will the Mangal Sutra cry? Huh? No. Anything of this world, we think it belongs to us, they don't know us. Any material things which we own in this world, they don't know us. And all the relatives and friends, they relate with us, they also don't know us. They only relate to the body. They don't know us as soul. Is it true or wrong? Is it true or wrong? All material things around us, we owe. We think they are ours. We own it. They don't know us. All the relatives living, even animals, they don't know us. Relatives don't. They don't know us as the Atma. They only know us as the Atma when we die. Then they say that is gone. And they will not take care of this body at all. They just go and burn it or bury it. That's it. They don't. They only realize when we are no more on this planet. Oh, my father is gone. So this, they don't know us. But only the person who knows us is Paramatma, our well-wishing friend, sitting within our heart. In this world, foolishly, people are owning anything and everything of this material world which don't know him. But the person who is his own friend, who never leaves him, they forget that. That is actually the mystic of this materialistic civilization. Therefore, one good realization I have. Love Krishna and have, this is in a Hindi it is says, Krishna se prem karo, sansar se vyavar karo. Vyavar means, one thing is business, some other good word. Vyavar. Well, business is a one word. So, Bhagavan se prem, sansar se vyavar. What vyavar actually means, whatever, you have son, you treat him as a son. You have wife, you treat as a wife. You have sister, treat as a sister. You have a customer, treat as a customer. That's called vyavar. So whatever the relation you have in this world, you just carry those on, but only love Krishna. What we are doing actually, we are loving all the material worldly relations and we are doing business with Krishna. Vyavar Krishna se prem sansar se. That is what the world is doing. Sunday ko aayenge, Bhagwan ko prarthna karenge, saat din bachchon ki seva karenge. So that what actually is, if we love Krishna and do our relative, say, Bhagavatam is so interesting. In 7th canto of Bhagavatam, about Grihastha Ashram, Narad Rishi is telling to Yudhishthira Maharaj, why your relative may give you advice. Your children, they may give you advice. Superficially you say, yes, 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 okay. But internally you should not budge an inch from your devotion. And this is Bhagavatam. And it's Narad Rishi is telling to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Because in this world you have to keep your relation. So say outwardly, yes, yes, don't disturb them. But inwardly you should be completely fixed in your relation with the Supreme Lord. So what actually here we have to learn is, we should do keep all our good. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told to Raghunath Das Goswami. When Raghunath Das Goswami came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was hardly 10, 11 years, he was the first Goswami who met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Raghunath Goswami is first who made Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, outwardly you do all your work. Inwardly, you worship Krishna. And Krishna will help you. So he went, he took, and he got married. He entered into the business and supporting his parents. But inwardly, he was meditating on Krishna. So, then Krishna helped him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through Nityananda Prabhu, and then his father said one word, because all the time they were binding him and having a father is keeping the guard to keep him not to run away. So his mother said, how can you keep our Raghu? And then father says a wonderful line. He says, opulence like Indra and beautiful wife like a denizen woman cannot bind him what these ropes will bind him. We have opulences here. Millions of rupees around him in a golden coins. And he has a beautiful wife. They are not binding him. So what the ropes will do for him? He will go. But Mahaprabhu advised him that now, I mean, this is Mahaprabhu advised the another Goswami who was living at Banaras, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami. Go and serve your mother and father till they are alive. And then don't get married. Go to Vrindavan afterwards. So this is what actually is here. We should keep all our relation in a good, healthy state. This is another problem with the devotees. They burn their relations and they have no love for Krishna. They are hanging in the middle. This is the problem of the devotee community. In an emotional, quick way, they burn all their relations. This is all Maya. This is all this. But they have not developed the love for Krishna. So they are nowhere. That is a problem. So keep your relation very intelligently. Very intelligently. Relation should be kept. Manadi Maharaj sent a nice message one day. It was an interesting message. Serve Krishna and maintain yourself. Serve Krishna and maintain yourself. What the world is doing, he said, they are serving themselves and maintaining Krishna. But we are doing small temple in the house, we are maintaining Krishna, just giving some sugar candy and we are eating pizza. You go and see the all big, you know, rich men in India, they have Laddu Gopal, they only give him sugar candy. But they eat anything. They will not give anything else. Put some sugar candy in front of him and then maintain Krishna. Serve yourself. This is the whole world's business. Serving themselves and maintaining Krishna. He said, serve Krishna and maintain yourself. So we have to maintain all the relation of this world intact. But we should love Krishna. That is the message in this, what Akrura Rai is feeling. That's actually Akrura Rai is a devotee of Krishna. Ultimately, Akrura Rai is one of the devotees of the Krishna. But he's in reverence, he's not in a Madhurya bhav. He's living in Mathura. Mathura and Dwarka devotees have a different relationship with Krishna. They are more seeing his opulences. So, Akrura says, such fools continually suffer the dualities of the happiness and distress in this world. Because I am covered by ignorance, I cannot realize that you are the dear most beloved of my soul. Just as the fools overlook a body of water, Akrura then illustrated the various previous point that, an example, a foolish man will give up water which is covered by grass and run after a mirage. In the same way, due to the ignorance, I abandoned you, who appear covered by Maya, turned away from you and turned towards my material body. Na utsahe aham kripanaha dhihi kama karmahatam manaha rodhum pramati bhihi chakshai hiryamanam itta tata. My intelligence is so crippled that I cannot find the strength to curb my mind, which is disturbed by material desires and activities and constantly dragged here and there by my obstinate senses. Akrura prayed, I cannot control my foolish mind, which is being pulled by my powerfully agitated senses. Due to my crippled intelligence, kripanadhihi, I cannot even gather the courage, utsa, to try to check my rascal mind. What do you think? Will it apply to us or not? Just exactly, again, meditate on this verse. I cannot control my foolish mind, which is being pulled by my powerfully agitated senses. Due to my crippled intelligence, kirpanadhi, I cannot even gather the courage, utsa, to try to check the rascal mind. So Krishna's advice is, Krishna's advice is in Bhagavad Gita, Adau Indriya Sanyama. You cannot control mind. It is very wicked. So you start controlling your senses by regulation. Your senses in your hand. You can stop your hand. If your mind says you hit somebody on the face, but you can stop your hand. It is in your hand. Mind is not in your hand, but your senses are in your hand. So you start regulating your senses. Adau indriya sanyama. First you regulate your senses. All the Vedi bhakti is to regulate the senses. All the Vedi bhakti is to regulate senses. Mind is the next stage. And then Krishna says, higher than senses, mind, higher than mind is intelligence, higher than intelligence is soul. Therefore, until unless you get the energy from the soul to the next door neighbor, intelligence is the next door neighbor of the soul. So if the soul, if you get really self-realization, you get your soul enlightened, then your intelligence will be discriminative. And then the mind can be only controlled by intelligence. Intelligence will guide the mind. This is right, this is wrong. Right now, intelligence is crippled. It is crippled. So intelligence has to be guided by the spiritual strength. That's called Atma Vishwas. What is called Atma Vishwas? Atma Vishwas means when we have a faith. We have a faith in this world until unless we have somebody in which we have faith. Somebody we can really, for somebody who can support us, who can help us, who can protect us, we can never ever be happy in this world. This is a natural situation. It's a natural propensity. Until unless, like child is all, why children are happy? Because they have support, they have help, and they have shelter of the parents. As soon as the students, they are graduating, they are completely in anxiety and disturbance. Is it right? Because they are getting away from the parents' support, and they are not having another hold where they can really be supported, so they are frustrated. So this is actually the problem of this material world. Unless we have some ashraya, unless we have some shelter, unless we have some help, some protection, we will be always frustrated in this world. Therefore, spiritual life, the basis of the spiritual life is that we always have some shelter. We always have some ashraya, guru ashraya, Vaishnava ashraya. If people have no such thing, then they will always be miserable in this world. So this is a problem of the whole material civilization, that they are not ready. As long as they are children, they are protected by the parents. Once they are beyond their protection, they leave their protection behind, they are always suffering. It's interesting, somebody said, children always thinks the parents are wrong. But when they realize that parent were right, their children think they are wrong. This is a real line. The children think parents are wrong. They are putting so much pressure. And they realize that parents were right, basically. When they have their children, they started thinking they are wrong. So this world is going on like this. This is a problem of this world. So therefore, a spiritual life really based on a shelter. If there is a shelter, there is a ashraya, then we are like a child who is carefree. But we have simply to... A child is happy because he is following the instruction of the parents. When he give up their shelter, then he is suffering in this world. Then he takes shelter of lower than him. People are taking shelter. They cannot live without. Like Prabhupada used to say, in this world everybody is serving. Nobody can say, I am not serving. Somebody is serving some master, somebody is serving other master, but nobody can say, I am not serving. But people are not serving the right master, that is their problem. Like the example is given, to take shelter is good. The whole teaching of Bhagavad Gita is Sharanagati. Take shelter. Ultimately, the purpose of whole Bhagavad Gita is surrender, shelter. But this word surrender in English is not equivalent of Sharanagati. In English, surrender means you show the gun and people's hands up. That is the English meaning of the surrender. But this surrender, there are two words. One is called parpana. Arjuna is saying, Tvam parpanam. Parpana actually means the foot and then the ankle. So between the foot and ankle, around the ankle, if you hold somebody's leg and said, I am holding your feet, I am at your feet, please protect me. That is called parpana. Parpana means falling on the feet and holding feet. And Sharanagati means putting oneself under the sole of the, say, lotus sole of the foot of the Supreme Lord. So what is the difference between the two? Holding the ankle and putting oneself under the sole. That is called Sharanagati. In Ramanuj Sampradaya, there are two words about Sharanagati. One is called Parpana, which means holding the foot. So holding the foot means the person you are holding the foot, he is powerful, then you are holding the foot. So if he can kick you, you will be away. Is it right? And they give the example. Monkey, the baby holds the monkey, not the monkey holds the baby. You have seen the monkeys? Babies hold the monkey. So if monkey climbs from one to other branch quickly, the baby may fall. Because it is by her strength she is holding. That is parpana. And the Sharanagati is cat carrying the kitten in the mouth. So now kitten will never fall because it's this powerful person is carrying the weak person. So Sharanagati is completely Ashlisha Ma Padatan Pranishtu Mam. There is the Sharanagati. You may kick me or you may embrace me. In any case, I will not leave your shelter. That is Sharanagati. So, this Sharanagati, usually people are taking of people lower than him. That is called, that's what example given. Kekai has taken Sharanagati or shelter of Mantra. And then everything is ruined. So if we take shelter of the person who is less, even in devotee community, sometime instead of higher association, the devotees go to the lower association. And then it's very difficult to progress. It's very difficult to progress. They say we are associating. So one Maharaj was giving class sometime in Vrindavan. He said, association of the devotee does not mean to sit on the Bihari Lal shop and drink there the Coca-Cola. We are associating with devotees. That's not the purpose. Association of devotee means talking Krishna Katha. Machit Madgat Prana Bodhayanta Parasparam Katyantascha Mam Nityam Tushyanti Charamanti. That is the purpose of association. The association means talk about Krishna, sing about Krishna. Association doesn't mean that you talk anything in the devotee association. So the bottom line is this is what Akura is saying. Until unless we take shelter, take ashray of the Vaishnavas. Actually, it is almost impossible to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. But it is very possible and easy to take shelter of the devotee of the Supreme Lord. And devotee of the Supreme Lord is more merciful than Lord himself. Supreme Lord has made a rule. If you come to me, then and pray me, then I will protect. It is his rule. Because otherwise he should protect all. So he has made this rule. But devotees are more merciful. Even you don't go to the devotees, they will come to you. People from America came to Vrindavan to invite Prabhupada to go to the New York? Huh? No. He went there. So Prabhupada will say, once when the devotee said, we are very fortunate, Srila Prabhupada. The answer Prabhupada gave, I made your fortune. I made your fortune. So devotee is more merciful. He take all the risk. So taking shelter of the devotees, having association and mercy, even the devotional service starts when we serve devotees by their mercy. What is the proof that somebody is blessed by a devotee? What is the proof? What is the taste? He will develop taste for hearing Krishna Katha. That is Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam says, Mahat Pad Sevaya, if we serve the devotees, then we will develop Bhagavat Katha Rati. We will develop taste for hearing Krishna Katha. So proof of the mercy of a devotee, proof of the service rendered to the devotee is taste for hearing Krishna Katha. And the result of the text of hearing Krishna Katha is Anarth Nivarti. The unwanted, in a Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu. Then all the inauspicious things disappear from the heart and bhakti become Nashtiki. And then the next step is Rajogun and Tamogun, mode of passion and ignorance. They disappear from the life of a devotee and he will come to the mode of goodness. So this is the sequence in a second chapter of first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, how the devotion starts. Adav Sharda at Sadhu Sangha. So Sadhu Sangha is most important. All these temples are built, the whole society Prabhupada has made to give association of the devotees. Most important, Mahaprabhu said, in this world the only rare and most important thing is association of the devotee. That's the only most rare but most important thing is association of devotees. Because that can only help us to progress in spiritual consciousness. So Akrura is here praying in this mood that we are, I'm attached to this. Now, my intelligence is crippled. His mind is very strong. We started starting Vedi Bhakti by regulating senses. And then, when senses are, this is one example is given. If the mind wants to go out, let it go. But how can he go without senses? So they say, if the arrow wants to fly, go. I'm not using the bow. Where the arrow will go? If you don't use bow, where the arrow will go? So, senses are bow, mind is arrow. Mind is going out through senses. So if you control your senses, then mind will be crippled. It cannot go out. So, primarily we have to regulate our senses. Not eating, controlling tongue. By only eating prasad. Not going to the wrong places, controlling our, other senses. So the whole regulative principles are to control our senses. Then mind is a next step, which can only be controlled when sincerely we chant the holy name and pray to the Krishna. So Akrura is saying, being thus fallen, I am approaching your feet for shelter. O Lord, because although the impure can never attain your feet, I think it is nevertheless possible by your mercy. Only when one's material life has ceased, O Lotus Navel Lord, can one develop consciousness of you by serving your pure devotees. Tava abhaja nava sada upasanaya mati hi syat. So this Akrura is speaking himself. The first bottom line is we should understand that we are fallen. Until unless one thinks, this is what Bhakti Vinod Thakur has written. The first stage is we really realize that we are in a wrong situation. We are really not in a good shape. then we will figure out where is the right thing to go to. Then we will go to the Krishna consciousness. So until unless there is a vishad, vishad means lamentation, then there is no prasad. First chapter of Bhagavad Gita is a lamentation of Arjuna. There is a vishad. Therefore Krishna has given prasad in the second chapter of giving this knowledge of the soul. So first is Akura is telling himself that how much he is really fallen and ignorant. And all the acharya, they have written like this. The my mind is vikil. They all have written like whole Raghunath Das Goswami has written full book to manasiksha, to control his own mind. So now Vishwanath Chakravarti, Akura prayed, though what I have said about myself is true, I surrender unto you. This surrender is hard to attain for the impure. So impure cannot surrender. But it is surely possible if I receive your mercy, if Krishna asks, when will you get my mercy? Akura is replying, O lotus nibbled one, when one worship your pure devotees, consciousness of you develops. This is Akura's answer. Krishna says, when you'll get my mercy? Akura is saying, only when you are a devotee. When we worship your devotee, by their mercy, we can worship you. Akura. Krishna is asking, when will happen? No. When will that happen? How can I know that some devotee has blessed you? How can I know that? Then Akura is saying, when a person's material life is finished, Krishna, and when is one's material life finished? When he receives your causeless mercy. So this is what actually say, devotee's mercy, Krishna's worship, Krishna's mercy, all the material attachment completely, the heart is purified. Who purifies the heart? Krishna. He purifies the heart. Devotees inspire us to go to the service of the Krishna. It is mercy. That's what we... So this is an interesting dialogue Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is writing. So, Akura, when we receive your causeless mercy, by this reasoning, first there is a causeless mercy of the pure devotees, in a plural, followed by the beginning of the cessation of material life. Then by serving pure devotees, one develops Krishna consciousness. This sequence has been described previously. Namo vijnana matraya sarva paratya hetave purusheshaha pradhanaya brahmane ananta shaktyai. Obeisance to the supreme truth and the possessor of unlimited energy. He is the embodiment of pure transcendental knowledge, the source of the all kinds of awareness, and the predominant of the forces of the nature that rules over living beings. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, Akura surrendered himself to Krishna's lotus feet in two verses. Akura prayed, I will be able to understand you in proportion to how much realization or vijnan you give me. I can only understand as much as you give me intelligence. You are the source of all knowledge, sarva pratya hetave, as well as you are super soul, purusha, inspiring all activities. As time you control, it's asia, everyone, and give the result of action, maya, as maya, pradhan, you bind up the living entities, and as the supreme absolute truth, brahmane, you liberate them. As bhagavan, ananta shaktyahe, you give us devotion to yourself, and thus your work is complete. Namaste Vasudevaya Sarva Bhutak Kshayaya Cha Rishikeshaha Namaste Namastubhyam Parapanam Pahimam Prabhu. O son of Vasudev, obeisance unto you, within whom all living beings reside. O Lord of the mind and senses, again I offer you my obeisances. O Master, please protect me, who am surrendered unto you. Akura prayed, O Rishikesh, please protect me. Please engage my mind and senses in your service so that they do not become attached to my family. Here ends this chapter. Hare Krishna. So this is the last verse of this chapter. Akuras prayers to the Krishna. O son of Vasudeva, obeisance unto you, within whom all the living beings reside, O Lord of the mind and senses, Rishikesh. Again, I offer my obeisance unto the Master. Please protect me, who am surrendered unto you. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has written two lines more. So here ends the purport to the 40th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. Thank you very much. So what is the message from this? Message is that we should regularly offer prayers. Prayers is a part of the devotional service. When we bow down to the Supreme Lord, we always, when we start from Prabhupada, that is the devotee's mercy. He always say, we are fallen, Prabhupada. Somehow keep us at your shelter. Please bless us that we can render some little service to the Vaishnavas, Hari and Guru. To the Vaishnavas, to the Guru, and to the Supreme Lord. So every day we should start our prayer from Prabhupada. Maybe before that we should, this olden days ISKCON's culture was, when we enter into the temple, first we pay our obeisance to the devotees sitting in the temple. Vancha Kalpa Trubhyas. This is the first limb of our devotional service in the temple. Very old culture is no more seen in the temples now, but from there they pay obeisance to all the Vaishnavas sitting there. First Vaishnava obeisance, then going to the Prabhupada for prayers, and not only just lying down as a mechanical falling down. Even when we offer Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna, it is also mechanical. It's all completely mechanical. We really pray from the heart, Prabhupada, somehow or other I'm really still fallen. I'm not able to render service. Please keep me at your feet and give me little intelligence. I can serve the Vaihari Guru Vaishnava. So every day, literally, we say like that as a prayer. Then we go and pray obeisance to Radha and Krishna. Say, Vande Aham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Pada Kamalam. From this whole prayers, but knowing the meaning of this verse also. I would say definitely many of us know this verse, but hardly few know the meaning of this verse. Unless we know the meaning of all these prayers within our heart, then it will come from the heart. Otherwise it is just coming from the lips. So lip service is not sufficient. It should come from the heart. We know that we are offering obeisance to all the Vande Aham Gurum, all the people who have helped us to become Krishna consciousness. Vaishnavas, all the Vaishnavas, Ananta Koti Vaishnavas, to the associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to Radha and Krishna, Lalita and Vishakha, like that. And then, hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Mandu, hey Tapta Kanchan Gaurangi. So this is the prayers every day. We start Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Jagannath Das Babaji, Sad Goswami, Pancha Tattva. We should just start meditating on Eve. Every personality sitting there, by their mercy we are in Krishna consciousness. So as a parampara, we should every day meditating and speaking our heart and our problems to the Supreme Lord and His pure devotees. This is Bharat said in Ramayana. He said, if you cry your problem to the world, they will only laugh on you. But if you cry your problem to the saintly people and to the Supreme Lord, they will help you. Usually we cry to the people, they just make fun of it and create problem for us. So every day you keep put all your problems to the Prabhupada, and rest problem whatever put onto the Supreme Lord. They are in the heart, they know really what you are saying as a Paramatma, and they will guide definitely. So accrued prayers as a hope for us, even if we are fallen, but if we really take help from the devotees, then we may get mercy and we can progress on the path to the Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Any question or comment? We almost finished this chapter. Yes, Prabhu. there is a part of it in a Dwarka Leela. It's not stealing, but they kept the Satyadhanva and the two persons who were involved in the Samantak Mani, and they killed the Satya, the father of the Satyabhama. What is his name? Satrajit. They killed Satrajit, so she kept her Satrajit's body in a oil, and she went to the Hastinapur. She brought Krishna. Krishna came, and Krishna killed that person who killed the father of Satyabhama, Satrajit, Satyadhanva. He killed him, and at that time, the other person in this conspiracy, she was the commander in chief of the Yadavas. His name is. He was given to the Duryodhan, Satyadhanva and now it will come in. It's just come on my tongue. Now it's a different file is open. So this file, I have to open this file. So what happened is that the Samantak Vani, they have kept with Akrura, and Akrura left Dwarka, and he went to the Banaras where his maternal parents were, and when Akrura goes from somewhere, there was no rain there. Usually he was a very auspicious person. And there was no money anywhere. And Krishna, even Balaram has doubt on Krishna. So usually he gives money to me. When he took the money from that Sankachud, he gave to me. Now he is not giving. So at that time, Balaram also left Krishna. And he went at that time to Kashiraj, where he trained the Duryodhana and Gada Yudh. So Krishna went to in search of money. But he got the money from the rich Raj, from the Jamvant, and he got Jamvanti. He came back. He gave the money now to the king in a treasury. But then he said, but before that, he was saying, how Akrura, son of Phalak, is doing the everyday charity in the Banaras, in a Kasi. So he sent somebody and summoned Akrura. And he said, so, Kaka, where is the money? And he just said, this is the money. So for a while, Akrura was also tempted by the money and he kept it with him. So this is a part of the Dwarka Leela. Akrura was cursed by gopis. That is the one aspect. I mean, this was gopis' natural attachment to Krishna, but Akrura has done a great service to the devotees who were living in Mathura, to the devotees who were living in Dwarka, going to be in Dwarka. And the Pandavas, the great devotees of the Krishna, came in contact with Krishna when he came out of the Vrindavan. And then this whole Bhagavad Gita came out for the whole world when Krishna left Vrindavan. So this is all part of the pastime of Krishna Leela. So Akrura has done actually a great service as a part of the role he has to play for Krishna to bring out. So gopis were right in their own way, but Krishna's desire was to go out. Therefore, he accepted Akrura's service. And then he went to the Akrura's house afterwards on the invitation of Akrura. So Akrura is one of the devotees of Krishna in Aishwarya Bhav, not in Madhurya Bhav, but he's the example of the Vandana Bhakti. But gopis never liked anybody who separated them from Krishna. But this was Krishna's desire also. Because he wanted gopis, their love in separation will be more intense than love in union. So this is all. So Akrura helped actually gopis to develop that deep love for Krishna by this action. So there are different angles we can look at Akrura. But here Akrura is outwardly helping Kansa, and inwardly he is serving the purpose of the demigods, because Krishna appeared on the plea of the demigods, so he is serving that purpose. So sometimes somebody has to do the very difficult job. So Akrura is the only very reliable persons are put into such situation of doing such a heavy job like Prabhupada has done. They don't like to separate them, the devotees from Lord, but somehow some people have to do it for a higher purpose. Hare Krishna. Garutra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki. You have some question, Anandji? What is your question? Then that is called the stage of purity. There is a stage of purity. And then the soul should be engaged in service of the Supreme Lord. That's called serving the Supreme Lord with purified senses. Right now our senses are impure. By devotional practice, we purify our senses, and with the purified senses, we render service to the Supreme Lord. There is the service actually accepted by the Supreme Lord, by purified senses. What? Intelligence only Krishna gives. We don't have intelligence. Dadami Buddhi Yogam. He will give the intelligence. I am the intelligence. So he gives intelligence where senses are purified. Then he gives intelligence, by that we can think of him. He gives intelligence. Dadami Buddhi Yogam. He has given intelligence. He has given intelligence to everybody, how to eat and how to maintain. But he only gives intelligence, bhakti yoga, to his pure devotees. It's not intelligence, it's giving bhakti yoga, buddhi yoga, not intelligence, but the intelligence and the yoga of intelligence, how to connect with Krishna by intelligence, that is given by Krishna. Sarvascham hirdesanivishto matasimurtir jnanam apo. I give the intelligence. There also he said, I give the intelligence. But here he said, I give the buddhi yoga. That only he gives when the senses are purified. That is also by the association of devotee. Hare Krishna. So what is the bottom line? Association of devotee. If we have a respect and a service attitude towards the devotees, then the wheel will start and then we can progress. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Now tomorrow, Krishna and Balaram will be in Mathura and they will start